Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio, and we're so glad to have you today.
Yes, for anybody new, this is a show for couples who are going through a journey. If you're struggling with infertility, or we're so sorry if you've suffered a miscarriage or child loss, or maybe you're in the middle of adoption, that affects so many people, and you're not alone.
No.
And that's what this show is for, to help encourage you along the way to cling to Christ because He's enough.
That's right. I feel like throughout this year, since we've started 2021, we have learned so much from you listeners and supporters, from our guests we've had on the show. And so that's kind of what today's episode is about, just kind of going over things that we've gotten from Hannah's Heart, unexpected things. I was never, not that I wasn't expected to be blessed by this ministry or these people, but I didn't realize how good it was going to be for my heart at
the
time that this started. So we just really appreciate those who have supported us from the beginning. And then so many people that we hear like, oh, as soon as I found y'all, I listened all day long, or, you know, I got all the way caught up and now I, you know, pay attention every week to listen to new shows. So we appreciate y'all.
Yeah. And we want this episode today to specifically be like a time of refreshing for anyone listening. Yeah. Because if you, we recently had a Hannah's Heart Hangout, which if you're in the local area, you've heard our local spots. It's just a group of ladies that get together that are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, and we just encourage each other and pray and hang out.
Yeah. And it's fun.
Yes, and it's so needed. And like, I just, it has been so heavy on my heart that we need refreshing. We need to encourage each other, and we need to point each other to Christ, because this journey is really exhausting.
And isolating.
Yes. And so we're right in January right now, right? So a lot of people are, I don't know, Anne, are you a, like, make a goals personal? Are you one of some people?
I should, but you know who I am with forgetfulness. I forgot I said I was going to do that.
I do it in my phone. Some people hate on people that make resolutions. Like, I use it as a time to like just vision for our family, to just to reset, just, you know, and it's not necessarily like I want to weigh exactly this amount and I want to read this many books, although sometimes those are on my goals. I'll be honest. Usually there's at least seven health goals.
How many books do you say you'll read?
None anymore, because for like 7 years in a row, I was like, I'd be like, I want to read 10 books, five. 1 year, I was like, read one flipping book. One, just open it up.
That's like, I will listen to one book.
Yes, audiobooks, that's where I am. Like now, if I can't listen to it, it's probably not going to happen. Although, I will say, I have read Eliana variety.
Like, if those books count, I read like 10
if
a day.
The touch and feel books count, man. And I'm quite...
I have Dr. Seuss memorized. Thank you very much.
Exactly. But yeah, just, you know, I think as you're taking a time to evaluate for your family's like goals and like if you're struggling with infertility, I think it's nice to have a fresh start of the year and to just say, Lord, what is your plan for our family? Yeah. Like sometimes we get busy working in our own strength and we need to stop and like invite the Lord into the plan and just reevaluate, like, is what I'm doing still what I'm called to?
Know, that's very important.
And then allowing the Lord to like, because if you're running a race, like, do you run at all? Have you ever?
I do run.
Do you?
It's been a little bit now. I started after having John Micah and like recovering from surgery.
Yeah, you've had a
running again. And then like my knee started hurting. And I was like,
old.
Man, this is 30.
It's not, look, I walk up a hill now and I'm like, whoo, that was a good one. I used to run.
But I enjoy running. When I take the time to run a mile or two, I do enjoy it.
Yes.
I feel like it's good for my mind. I just get me like 20, 25 minutes yes. time by myself.
It is so nice. But as you, my analogy is as you get into running, like if you've ever done like a 5K or a half marathon or anything like that, there's the people that cheer you on. And like,
oh, yeah.
I used to think like, man, like why are, when I'd watch races, like I didn't realize until I ran a race, like how desperate somebody cheering you on yes. was. And the oh, person yeah. with the water where you're like, I'm dying. And I like,
you're
this is a 5K. Like, it's really not even that far. I'm like, oh, medic.
I don't know. Well, I have done the Gumtree, which is a local race yes. here in town. And it's a 10K.
Whew.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And like, okay. but those people that I saw along the way were so needed because yes. like I like to run. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm a good runner, yeah. though. Like, I enjoy the time outside, and that's really why I like to do it.
Yes.
I say that walking is a love language of yes. mine because I'm like, oh, you're going to go it. On a walk with
yes.
me? Because, you know, good one-on-one time. But
yeah, encouraging other people, yeah. those people that, like, you know, shout out.
Hold up
like,
the signs it and is have a your big water. Deal.
And we want to do that for each other. And yes. we want you
that's
to.
That's what we want to be for our listeners.
Yes. And you guys have done that for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just take a moment and think back to like how has, and if you're listening to this, I want you to evaluate in your own life, how has the Lord used your journey
yeah.
to draw you closer to Him? And how can you start to tell your story in a way that is going to encourage others and is going to let them know that you don't grieve the way the rest of the world grieves, but we grieve with hope. And scripture says, always be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you. Yeah. So what I have loved about sharing on Hannah's Heart is that like it has allowed me to be more articulate in my life with other people when I talk to them. And so like,
oh, that's a good point.
I have gotten to use infertility to share the gospel with people.
Yeah.
And like, I would never have picked what we've gone through and had to struggle. But for those of you that are new to our story, my daughter, that God was just a miracle that God gave her to us. Her name is Eliana Joy.
She's,
and every time people meet
Joy.
Her, she is a mess. She is not a mess. She'll say, I'm a mess. Yeah, you are. She's just now
precious.
Learning to say her name, which is when she says, I'm Alian. Alian. I'm like, okay.
Well, you know, that's
progress.
How Jane says
it
her
is,
name.
It Anya. Is. Anya. It's very similar. I actually thought about that. Our little daughters like to play together. They're so sweet.
They're so cute.
But her name means that God has answered because we had so many people praying for us. And so we'll be in the grocery store and people will ask us like, oh, what's her name? And then I say, and I don't know if they're just being nice, but they're usually like, oh, it's so pretty. And then I immediately say, yeah, it means God has answered. And like 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh, well, what is that about?
Answer?
Yeah, what did he answer? It
I
begs this
that.
Question. And then I get this whole story about like, and like I have met a lot of people that have had similar struggles as us just through saying that name and like the way that God has used our test to become a testimony. So yeah, all right, I'm just going to ask you, Anne, what is one thing about your journey that like was a test that has become part of a testimony or some way that the show has impacted you?
The show has impacted me in many, many ways. I think it's also one, I don't know if this is what you're talking about right now, but I feel like it's also kept me accountable for paying attention to how God is using my story to lead me closer to Him, to like pay attention to those details that I don't know if I would have noticed without, I feel like the show holding me accountable for that. Because not that we need to live each day to like plan a Hannah's Heart show, but I do feel like so many times as I'm walking through something hard or something sad or even something happy, you know, that I can be like, oh, that's something good. This is how it could relate back, you know, to this and to bring encouragement or to just say like, man, I struggle too. I'm not always happy. I'm not always, you know, wondering how God can use me today, even though I should be. That's not always my heart.
Yes.
And to be honest, the last few months I have really, I struggled wanting this new year to happen. Not that I mean, like, I know there's no other option unless the Lord came back. The new year's just going to happen.
But you had some dread.
But I had dread of the new year. My son is not going to be in 2024. And that was something very hard for me to take in as the days got closer to 2024. But I do feel like I've had some people reach out to me and, you know, reading through scripture. There's still hope in this new year. It, you know, I feel like us as a family, us as even Hannah's Heart, can bring my son into the new year to bring his memory and then to do things in his honor, but to be pleasing to the Lord yes. at the same time. And so I hope that John Micah's story, as we go along, as I continue my the mm-hmm. rest of my life, can bring honor to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how that's gonna exactly mm-hmm. happen yet. I know I've had people reach out. You've been so kind mm-hmm. just to even say, you know, encouraging things to us, watching us walk through this. Mm-hmm. I don't do it right daily. I don't do it right hourly half yeah. the time, you know. But I do feel like Hannah's heart has kept me accountable mm-hmm. to look for joy even when I don't feel like looking.
Well, and I want to commend you for being courageous to share with us in the middle of your grief. Mm-hmm. Because another scripture says that, you know, and I referenced this earlier, but that we do not grieve like the rest of the world grieves, yeah. but we don't grieve as those without hope. But it doesn't say that Christians don't grieve.
Oh, right.
I think yeah. sometimes people feel like they have to hide their grief, or like, I'm not being
right,
a good Christian.
Right, if we're a good Christian, yeah. then we're not sad.
But you and Will have been so open about how hard and brutal this season has been. And I think that makes you so relatable to our listeners and just people in your life, that they're like, she's not faking. But if you can be honest about the thick, like, heaviness of your grief, and then can say, but my hope isn't in this world. Right. My hope is in Christ.
Yes.
Wow, what an opportunity to share the gospel. And we've had people talk about, like, listening to our show. There's a man at a conference we met, and he's like, yeah, nobody in my family struggles with this. He's like, but I love the way you guys talk about the gospel. And he's yeah. like, it applies to so many other areas of life. And I was really honored
yeah.
that that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit, like, and it really is the Holy Spirit speaking through us, guys. We don't have any degrees in, like, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, like, when people have asked for advice, sometimes I'm like, I don't know.
But he equips those that he calls. And yeah. like, we start, I remember our first, you remember our first couple of shows, like the endings were so awkward. We'd be like,
and
goodbye.
But I can still be awkward. Kendra,
yeah, it's true.
A few shows ago, I didn't even say, like, hey, this is Anne. I don't know what else.
That's life. We want to be vulnerable because we are by no means pros. But the Holy Spirit, like, uses our hurts to minister to others. And we want you to help learn how to take your hurt
yeah.
and how to cultivate a story that is going to help other people
right.
see your hope.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to first remind yourself that you have hope. And so if you're, you know, like,
that's good, Kendra. Reminders. That's
mind
really
yourself.
Good.
You know, David talks about, he talks to himself in the Psalms, and he says, why so downcast, O my soul?
Yeah.
Put your hope in God. I love that pass. And he says, and bless the Lord, O my soul. I love that scripture because, one, David, who his heart was so close to God, you know, God said that he was a man after his heart. David struggled with depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David said, not only that, but he had to speak to himself and say, why so downcast, O my soul? Sometimes we have to talk to our souls, and we have to tell our souls, hey, get in line with right. God's word, buddy.
Get out of your pit.
Get yeah. out of your pit, and we have yeah. to preach to ourselves.
No, I think that's so good. I need to remember yeah. what you're saying today.
I have to preach to myself half the time.
For sure. But now I think this year, Hannah's heart-wise has led me closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even before everything happened, and in July to me still mm-hmm. feels like 2 months ago. But
it'll forever mark your life.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. One day feels like an eternity ago, and the next day it feels like, sometimes I have to remind myself, like, that happened.
Mm.
I have to remind myself, as we're talking about things, I'm remembering, you know, even a story I was telling you before the show that mm-hmm. meant a lot to me. It mm-hmm. aired in early January mm-hmm. of last year, but it was a single girl
mm-hmm.
who we interviewed.
Yes.
And then you know her. I'm trying to remember mm-hmm. her name.
Yes.
She
had a long season of singleness.
Yes.
Yes.
And
a long, just got married.
Yes. And she had her picture.
Caitlin, yes.
Had, I don't a know bunch how many of kids.
So many.
but I thought it was really
neat. A plethora
neat.
Of children
yes.
around her.
For her to come on the mm-hmm. program. And I just remember mm-hmm. thinking, like, yeah, like, she had to trust God in her singleness and to be like, God, I'm okay. If mm-hmm. if I don't get married, I guess yeah. I'm going to have to be okay with that, you know,
yeah.
like, but this is what I'm going to do during the time
yeah.
that I'm waiting on you to answer those prayers
mm-hmm.
for my husband, Lord. And she didn't waste a second
yes.
of her waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, you know, so many people mean so mm-hmm. good by saying, you know, God doesn't waste a hurt.
Yes.
And sometimes as people start saying that to me a little too soon, because
yeah.
I was like, I don't know if
lot,
I'm ready
though.
To hear that right
yeah.
now. But it is true. And the more I've talked to people who have walked through losing a baby, the more I can see, you know, like if I let God use this for good, even though right now it doesn't, I still can't make sense of it here. And I don't know if I ever will be able to make sense of it this side of heaven. But if I open my heart and I let God use this, he will. And John Michael won't be wasted. He's never wasted, but his little story will not be wasted. If I have my heart in the right place and if I'm willing to let God use that time in my life. And so that is the reason why I do want to be open and honest and say, like, no, this isn't easy to walk through. As a Christian, I was saved when I was 6 years old. But it's not easy, you know, and I don't feel okay. I don't know in my head, like, God, this isn't okay. You could have saved him. But I have to trust that the Lord knows something better than I do. And so, and one day it'll be okay.
You know, as you're talking, and we've been just talking about the basics of the gospel, like, it's been on my heart heavy just now that there might be some listeners that listen to our show that really feel, I don't have any hope in my life, Kendra. And it might be that you have never accepted Christ as your Savior. And when we talk about how we don't grieve like the rest of the world, first of all, if you're a believer your whole life and you're like, I'm struggling to find that hope, keep pressing in and talk to your spirit, like we said. But I want to talk for a moment with someone who says, maybe I've never really surrendered my life to the Lord. And you're talking about, like, how can I get where you guys are? How do I get where Anne is, where she has the worst day of her entire life, and somehow, like, she's moving on and she's still able to see hope and light and is able to say, man, there's some things I don't look forward to in 2024, but I'm here for it, Lord, and I invite you into the pain. How do I get there? Do you want to share just, you said you were six when you accepted the Lord? Tell me, what was it like for you? How did you invite him into your life?
I think I remember just having a lot of questions, like, you know, paying attention in church more. My parents did make me, you know, after you get out of nursery, you sit down and you take notes, you know, as a six-year-old, and you know, pay attention to what the songs are and things like that. And we had started a program at church, and so I just started asking a lot of questions. And my mom, you know, I think I was sitting on our kitchen counter, and we talked about it, and I asked the Lord to come into my life then, and I prayed a prayer of what we call, or I know, is a prayer of salvation, and where you just admit that you are a sinner, and I can't do this life without you, God, and I invite you into my heart, and I want you to live there forever. And, you know, at 6 years old, I remember later on thinking, like, but nothing changed in my life. It wasn't like...
Was it like you were a murderer?
And the biggest thing I could do was, like, steal a cookie or, like, hide shoes under my bed and tell my mom I cleaned my room, you know? But I do believe that my heart had a change, you know? And so Brother Bert, who works here, who married us, he did John Micah's service, he came over to my house that night, he and his wife, and we talked, you know, about what salvation looks like and what that requires of you as a Christian. And I was saved that night, and I do believe that my heart changed. I had to reevaluate over the years and be like, all right, heart.
Salvation is a process. I think it's a moment. It starts with a moment, but then it's continued. You know, scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I think there's this, like, I trust you, Lord. And then there's working it out. And that means, like,
to really figure out what that means. Because I do think as you grow, and I do remember having a longing of wanting to be in scripture and in the word, and I, you know, keeping a prayer journal. And I still have those journals from I was like 7, 8 years old. And they look kind of silly, you know, reading back on them. It was like, man, I was...
But they're also
worried
so precious,
about things.
Just to see a child, like, a simple faith, you know?
And that is... I remember thinking, God could do anything.
And
I know he can, but, like, as a child, I remember just being like, God can take care of
you
that.
You grew up in that environment and hearing those stories, and it was real to you. I have a very similar testimony to you. Mine was, I was really young when I said a sinner's prayer in my parents' room. I mean, like, young, like 3 or 4. Didn't really completely, I understood Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I want him to be Lord of my life. But like, I also, as I started to grow a little older, I had just a lot of fear that I thought if I mess up again, that I have to go to the altar and pray that prayer again. So like, once you've said that prayer, you better be perfect from then on. And so in a weird way, there was kind of a works-based version of salvation that worked its way into my life. So by the time I was 8 or 9, I was so apologetic. I would sneeze. I would literally I was so fearful that the rapture was going to happen and I was going to be left behind. This is what happens when you're raised in a Christian, you know, household.
Did you watch Left Behind?
I did. Oh, no, there was one. What was it? The Thief in the Night series.
Oh, I haven't
scared
seen that.
Me to death.
Left Behind got me. I was like, I need to get it right every day.
No, on the one hand, my conscience was very clean as a youngster, but I didn't understand really the idea of redemption and the blood of Christ. Just that God was on my team, that he wasn't trying to trap me and he wasn't like waiting for me
and
to sin.
And it's not for you to earn your salvation.
Yes.
It's given
it was
freely.
Grace, like really understanding what grace was. So my mom noticed when I was like 9 years old that I was going forward to the altar every Sunday. And she was like, they'd have like an altar call and I would go forward. And finally she was like, so what's going on in your heart? And just talking that through and realizing that like my heavenly father is a God. So little background in our family. I have three adopted brothers, one biological brother. At this time, some of my adopted brothers were hitting their older teen years, and they were making some decisions that they weren't living by the family's rules. And so they were like, well, you can't be in the house. And I also had a younger brother who was 14 who... his is a long story, but he ended up having to go to a group home for a season because there was just so many complex issues that he needed more help. And I didn't understand why they were leaving. I kind of thought like that if you mess up, like you get kicked out of the family. And so like, man, that was not at all what the situation was, but this was my like 8 or 9 year old perception.
Well, your brothers were adopted later in life.
Yes, they were
and
much older when they came.
And, so hard on adoptive family. And I believe the adopted kids. Not saying it shouldn't be done.
Sure.
But you got to know there's going to be a lot of
trauma.
There's
a lot of trauma that they have to work through. And of course, they are my full brothers. I don't call them my adopted brothers now. I just say that to give the backstory of all that they were processing. But understanding that God wasn't trying to kick me out of the family, you know, for any mistake that I made. And, you know, that's something that I think helps in the struggle with infertility. If you're someone who thinks you have to get your life right and you have to be perfect before God grants you a child, that is not the way God works. He is a God of grace. Like if he doled out children based on the parents' like spirituality, there would be a lot of people that would not have children.
Right. I do have
and a lot
children.
Of people that should have children that would have them. Yeah. But that's not the way it works. The reason that infertility exists in our world, and this is again going back to basic gospel, is that God's plan from the beginning was perfection, was Eden, was that there would be no endometriosis, that there would be no male factor infertility, that there would be no infant death. That was never a part of his plan.
But we live in a fallen world.
Yes. And because of that, from the very beginning, God made a plan, knowing that we could not achieve perfection through Jesus sending his only begotten son. And I can't imagine now having a child to sacrifice a child. Like,
oh, no. Well, that's what I've had to admit to the Lord. And it does make me feel even stronger of thankfulness to him. Because if I could bring John Micah back but lose other people in the world, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But I would.
Yeah.
And there would be no way I could say, sure, God, take John Micah to save someone else.
Yeah. The selflessness. And Jesus being willing to accept it and to do
and
it
God
and to sign up.
God did that for us. Like, and that's what I've heard people say before. Like, God could have given himself, but instead he gave his son. And I remember being like, he could have given himself and he didn't. You know, just being like, but I get it now because I would have died in place of John Micah that day. I would die in place of Jane or Mark today, you know?
Yes.
And so I do understand what a selfless gift that was that the Lord did for us. And to watch his son die such a brutal death on the cross for us so that we can live in eternity and get that free gift of salvation because Jesus paid paid it all.
Yeah. And just a brief word. If your testimony is a lot like Anne's and I's, where like you weren't a murderer or big into drugs at the age of six when you confess Christ as your savior, that doesn't mean that you need a savior less. When I look at who I would be had Christ not entered my life at an early age, I cannot imagine going through infertility without Jesus. No. I would be a wreck. I would probably be on drugs. Like, I'm serious because,
Well, infertility kind of gets you there. You're on a lot of drugs.
That's true. It does kind of make you feel crazy. Well, listen, if you are listening to this and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we would love to connect with you. You can email.
Also, just real quick, sorry, Kendra.
Please jump in.
If your story doesn't look like ours and you have done what, X, Y, Z, know that there's enough grace out there for you.
There was a murderer on the cross next to Christ.
And he went, what did Jesus say? He said,
you'll be with me in eternity today.
You'll be with me in paradise. And so I fully believe he is there with Jesus in eternity. And so there's enough grace for my sweet baby boy to go to heaven. I fully believe that that's where he is. And there's enough grace for you, whatever you may have done in this life, God can cover you.
Amen. Hey, email us at hannahsheart@afa.net.
I got it out.
If that's your story and you would like to accept Christ or need someone to walk you through that, we'll talk with you in person.
That's the most important thing.
It is.
That we could cover on this podcast. Yeah. So thank you all for listening. Kendra, it was a good
show. It's a good episode.